pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, March 2nd, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? I have none.
John, yes, you do.
Oh, yes, I do. Under item, clear down under item J, I see we have a lot of items. Approval of a fireworks permit has been removed. I think that was the only change.
Yep, that's the only change.
Thank you, Terry. Meet with department heads and elected officials. I'm going to go a little out of order. I'm going to go to Krista Pogemiller. Apparently, they're having a vaccination clinic, or we're intending to have a vaccination clinic down at the auditorium. We have a gas leak, so they're evacuating that part of town. And so they're being rerouted, and if you have to leave, I will get you done early.
Thank you. Yes, so we were doing boost doses today at the auditorium, starting at 9 o'clock. We got a phone call just about 20 minutes ago that the auditorium has been evacuated due to this gas leak. So we are calling people that were scheduled at 9 o'clock and also asking them to reroute them to our public health. Obviously, with that location being a little bit larger, we were able to social distance a little better, so we're improvising, and hopefully we will get everyone taken care of, and we'll make sure that they'll get their 15 minutes of monitoring. We will probably just have to do something more outside and in their vehicles and having staff go car to car. So we're going to come up with that, and we'll get that taken care of. Currently, our percentage for the county is 4% with 26 cases in the last 7 days. Vaccination clinics have been wonderful. We really want to thank our community volunteers and our partners, Great River Health Systems, as well as emergency management. We have given close to 10,000 vaccines in our county, and by county of residence, it's 9,140. Completion of vaccines has been 2,310, so those are wonderful numbers. Thank you to Colin and his IT team. They've been working with us. We're going to transition our scheduling line to an online service additionally. And so that'll be a link that people can log on to. It's called No Wait Inside. And we're hoping to do that in the next week, so people will be able to log on the internet and be able to schedule appointments as vaccine becomes available. We are currently in phase 1B. We've moved into the manufacturing, so we, along with doing people who are 65 and older, we're also working with manufacturing to get, which is the subcategory of tier two under 1B. And so we're working with manufacturing companies to get the manufacturing staff that is eligible under phase 1B vaccinated. So we've started those, and we'll have quite a few done yet this week. The caveat to people that under manufacturing that qualify are people that are unable to social distance in their work day. So it's someone that works within 6 feet of another person in production on a manufacturing line if they qualify to be vaccinated under phase 1B.
Quick question I've been asked. The booster shot, is that the same as the original shot? I mean, is it just another dose of the same quantity and stuff as the first one?
Good question. Yes, thank you for bringing that up too. Yes, it is the same quantity. And I think you all kind of maybe heard that some people after the second shot have had some mild symptoms, and that's very normal. It is the same vaccine that you get for the first one. So the first one brings you about 65. The first vaccine shot that you get brings about 65 to 80% efficacy. And that really starts building up the antibodies. And then with the second shot, it builds on those antibodies, and that brings that up to that 95 to 96%. But your body's response, when you get the shot, your body responds to it, and that's how you build up those antibodies. And some people are gonna get some mild flu-like symptoms. We've not seen any major reactions to this. Primarily, people get a sore arm at the injection site, but definitely it's not uncommon to be fatigued and maybe have a headache, and just feel a little bit flu-like symptoms. But we've not seen any severe reactions. And that's the normal course of what really happens. It's no different than when you get a flu shot. Some people get a little bit, they feel like they're coming down with the flu.
I think the same thing happens with that series, that two-shot shingles. When I had that, when I got the second shot, it felt like I had the flu for half a day, 18 hours, something like that.
On that second shot, is there a time frame that second shot has to be given, you know, for it to be effective? So,
It is recommended that for the Pfizer, it's 21 days after the first shot, and for the Moderna, it's 28 days. You do have a grace period of 4 days prior to, but we encourage and we want everyone to come back on that recommended day. CDC recommends the most optimal is to come back on that 21st to the 28th day. And we also, it's important because these are boost doses, so we get a prime dose, and it's always matched with a boost dose. So if people come back on different days, then it becomes a problem as far as matching up that boost, because once we open that vial, that has to be used. As far as we don't want to waste any. So if 10 people come for their first dose, 10 people need to come for the second dose to make sure that evens up.
You lost me. Because, okay, you said the prime dose and the other dose, but they're all the same thing.
They are the same thing, but the way that's shipped to us. So if we get a first dose, we get a matching second dose.
Okay.
So if we get 10 doses the first time, we get 10 doses the second time. So they automatically will send us the second dose. So everyone who gets the first dose gets the second. And I do want to reiterate, it's very important for people to go ahead and get the vaccine. I know it's the flu-like symptoms are sometimes difficult, but it really prevents the hospitalizations and the worst complications from getting COVID. So it's really important that people go ahead and get their vaccine and definitely come back for the second vaccine.
I had my second shot, and the next day I was just a little tired. So I didn't have it bad at all. But I'm going to tell you, being tired was a lot better than being in the hospital with COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Thank you, Krista. I hope the rest of your day goes better than you anticipate.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And the county feels very badly about the apologizers for all that. Are on their way to the auditorium. This was an unforeseen event, so. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. The Danville Community School District special election is going on today. Their polls are open they open at 7 a.m. and they'll close at 8 p.m. and that's for their revenue purpose statement. And the polling location is the Danville Community Building. So anybody that's in the Danville School District can go there and vote on the revenue purpose statement. So. And other than that, we're keeping busy in the office.
Thanks, Terry. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. The ice conditions at Big Hollow are not accessible anymore. There's so many people on there this weekend, it's crazy. But judging from personal experience, that ice near the shore is awful soft. And we even have open water between the shore and the ice out there. So. I think ice fishing is done for the year. And then we've been getting a lot of questions about camping with this nice, beautiful spring weather we have coming along. We're getting a lot of questions about that. Our campgrounds aren't technically open. We won't turn the water on. Generally, our opening day for camping season is April 1st. And I know it's awful warm out. People are itching to get their campers out. But, you know, if you've been out in the county, you know how soft the roads are. The grass areas are just, they're just soggy. So we're encouraging people to just pump the brakes a little bit, let things dry up. I would not be surprised if there's a Big Hollow this weekend, but it's gonna wreak havoc on our roads and our camp pads, especially because those are really, really soft because of the type of rock we put on there. We intentionally kind of keep it soft so it's soft underfoot, and it's gonna rut things up pretty bad. So. You know, if you can wait a week or two for things to dry out a little bit more, you know, and we have some work we'd like to do on some of these campsites, getting them some top dress with some rock and things like that. But there's no way we're going to take a dump truck down those roads just yet. So if people can hold off, we appreciate that. You know, I get you wanting to get out, but, you know, come just a day trip, use the trails a little bit, but the camp pads are going to be awful, awful soft. We've already had people asking about the Ford pumping station. We don't actually have gravel pads up there. You just park in the grass. And I really hope, and we don't really have a way of closing that off either. I really hope we don't have people trying to back campers in the grass up there because you will be chasing those ruts for the rest of the season. So I know it's nice out, but let's just let's ease into it a little bit if we can. Otherwise, just kind of, we're going to be transitioning into spring mode. Like I said, April 1st is our target date for having the parks open. If it stays nice like this and we do dry out, you know, we will push that up a little bit and try to get things opened up and ready to go. We'll just kind of have to see what the weather brings us.
Well, I have to email Jeff and out. What's Top Gun? Can you explain that?
That's probably a better question for Kevin, but it's the local law enforcement event that they have. It's a competition that they have every year, plus a fundraiser. They use our entire range complex. And so per our rules, we generally don't allow reserving the entirety of the range without special board approval. And so
it's a area law enforcement competition. Just brings everybody together, and we put together basically a combat shoot for, mm-hmm. for law enforcement.
Okay. Good. I thought it might be something like that, but I didn't know.
Yep.
So we have a special champion that's like every year running that you can get us all excited about? So
well, the State Patrol won it last year. The county won it the several years before that, so it's a good competition to have. It keeps everybody motivated. I have never won it.
Be honest, the State Patrol cheats, don't they?
Brad's healthy again.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Chris. Colin Gerst, IT.
I was keeping busy like always, but nothing to report. So.
Thank you. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Last Wednesday, CEO had a meeting with Community, who does our mobile crisis response. They've been doing mobile crisis response from Iowa City area, and they've been doing it in four of our counties up near Iowa City. But they've informed us that they don't plan on doing mobile response after July 1. So we're going to have to do another RFP, and that mobile crisis response will have to look for another. They were the only person that bid on it the last time we had a request for proposals. So we'll be working on that. One thing we're trying to do is talk with local law enforcement and talk about mobile crisis response. And we got the talking points from when we first talked with them, and see if there's other things that they're looking for before we RFP this. So I'll be setting up a meeting with sheriff and with local police department, and just trying to talk about mobile crisis response before there are people's out.
We might be having another meeting. We're trying to set up now that might get a little information out of that as well.
Yeah, good. So that's all I have.
We're supposed to have a crisis assessment team coming shortly too, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I'm not on that committee, but that is associated with this. And that, in fact, Sarah had some sheets for CIT that she said, well, I ought to bring that to this meeting too. So,
okay.
Yeah, and we can invite other people from our region, but what we decided as a management team was just talk with our local law enforcement, each one of us, coordinators of disability services, and then we'll come back together and we'll try and talk about it before we have the RFP, which we'll use regional planning again for the RFP, I'm sure. So.
Thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Well, I suspect our gravel roads are probably the topic of conversation for a lot of people. So, a lot of soft spots, but more potholes. Afternoons are soft, mornings are firm right at the moment. Every road's got decent spots and every road's got bad spots. I mean, I think that's a pretty fair statement, and that's just where we're at.
At least it's not raining.
I agree. I agree completely. If you were going to go through the winter we went through, I don't think you could ask for a better drying out scenario than we've had. The problem is we need to dry out before, a little bit like Chris said, we need to dry out before we can do a whole bunch. Friday morning was our first rock that we've been able to haul, or that we tried to haul. We didn't haul the whole day. It just got soft early. But again, we continued to dry this weekend, so now the guys are, we're hauling all day, but they're bouncing around a lot, because if you just sit there in one spot and run on it, you'll just rut it. You'll ruin it worse than you're fixing it, is what'll happen. And so it's gonna take some time. And to be honest with you, just dumping rock and everything's never gonna fly, because we don't have the money to dump spot rock on everything anyway. So the frost is gonna have to come out at least that top 4 to 6 inches. They're gonna have to firm up to where we can actually do some blading. And as of yesterday, I was actually took a look at a spot, and right now it's just the roads are too firm, to be able to blade. And then sometimes they do loosen up in the afternoon, but the problem is then it's got to be that perfect balance of not being too wet. So it's not a time right now where we're actually able to do a whole lot of blading. For the most part, what the guys are doing is just following rock trucks and trying to get rock spread out. So that's just the nature of it right now. I mentioned on an email, if you guys have any spots you've had calls about, I'm happy to run out after the board meeting so you can take a look at them and show you some other spots and kind of give you a perspective for what we have. I would recommend riding with me. You're welcome to take your own vehicle out if you wish, but there are some spots that are pretty rough. You're going to want to slow down.
I'm not taking my car out on my bus route, I'll tell you that.
So I was on some of your bus route yesterday, actually. It's just right now, that's just the way it is. We knew it was coming, and if the people that live out there are honest, they knew it was coming too, if they paid attention to the past. But it will get better, but it will take time. There is no magic wand to just do it all at once. I wish there was. It would be happy. Everybody would be thrilled with that, but there's not. So we always said we're going to haul spot rock all week, and that in no way will get everything. I would love to think that maybe once we come through the weekend and we get into early next week, maybe it'll be loose enough, we can dry enough, we can maybe do a little bit of blading also. But it's hard to tell when that frost is really going to come out. You know, you sit here with this warm weather, but I'm here to tell you, yesterday, the guy I went and took a look at some shallow pothole spot type of thing, and he could only take about the top inch or two, and that's all with all the weight he could put into it could get through. It was just still that frozen underneath.
This is probably a good time of year to remind people that it costs $1 million a mile to pave a road. Des Moines County has what, 450 or 60?
Yeah, gravel
miles of gravel roads and what, 50, 60, 70 miles of dirt roads.
I've had the paving conversation, and I've had a lot of conversations, which is to be expected. The paving one came up even yesterday. It's just, you know, economically it's not feasible. So we'll do the best we can, give some time, and it'll heal back up. It'll come back into shape. We'll get back into our rocking program for the full county and just keep on moving. But we were just the way we went in, a little bit damp right at the end of fall. We had a really up and down winter. It was mild, but we had ice early. We had obviously a hard snow stretch. We were bound to come out with something like this. And I will wait for the frost to come out. To be honest with you, right now, everything we have is fixable with some, you know, with some manpower and maybe some rock, maybe just some blading. I told somebody yesterday, I hate to say this, but I have seen this go quite a bit worse. Chris had this experience just a couple years ago. When the frost comes out, you think you've seen it now. You didn't see nothing yet. If the frost comes out and we get the boils that have occasionally come along, you'll understand what impassable is. I hope that's not the case. We won't know until that happens. And we'll deal with that if it happens also. So, but anyway, cores are open. We're paying for rock and doing what we can at this point. So that's, if you guys, I know you guys get some calls, don't hesitate to either have them call our office or just pass it on to me. We do go take a look at things, but if it basically sits on the same plane as everything else we've looked at, it's just we'll just keep pecking away, working away, and making headway as best we can. so.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
Jared Lasseter, land use.
Nothing in particular apart from one item on the agenda, so other than that, just keep them busy as normal.
Thank you. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Right now,
Homeless office.
Yes, we are evacuated right now. Most of my staff is actually in the hall across, in the office across the hall. Sounds like it won't be until after lunch before we can get in, so we're going to go figure out what we're going to do with our staff for the next few hours. The attorneys just happened to be in court this morning anyway, so it was a non-issue for them. Otherwise, we are just going along and getting along. No, go ahead.
Courts are open?
They are.
How's it working?
So far, so good. The associate court trials last month, they just ended up all working out, so they didn't have any. The district court case went, I think Chris Scarborough handled it, said the new system works really, really well, especially with the way we're social distancing our jurors. So there are no complaints from the judiciary about the new system.
Good. Thank you.
I'll be back.
Okay. Sheriff Kevin Glendenny.
Things are going well at the sheriff's office. Nothing major to report there. And the jail numbers are trickling down, so they're down to 76 today. Three more leaving. Our out of county is at 11, so hopefully we'll see that also trickle down as well over the next several days as we get our numbers in hand.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Janelle Nally-Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. Yesterday was extremely busy. I think we did well over 140 motor vehicle titles, and I guess the nice weather brought everybody out. I don't know. But anyhow, busy, and we're starting, of course, on the second half property tax collections. So nothing. Oh, there is an agenda item, but other than that, busy.
Okay. Thanks, Janelle. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. I really don't have a whole lot to share. We're keeping busy. I will say our numbers have been really good, so hopefully we keep up that. And getting through a hard winter and a lot of ice and snow, you know, that's usually we kind of get hit on that. But we've had a good year, knock on wood. So right now things are going well. Just figuring out new plans for training. We've got some big trainings that are going to be coming up this year. So trying to get those worked through and get the people in to do the trainings for us. So.
Thank you, Angie. Rodney Gleisner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just busy this morning trying to keep tabs on the gas leak down there, getting everybody evacuated down there. So still kind of going on.
Do we know exactly where that was?
What's that?
Do we know exactly where that was?
It's right on the corner there by the railroad tracks where Frank Miller and Company is, their building, and then the railroad tracks, kind of on that corner between them and the auditorium on that far south corner, southeast corner. That's where it's at. So
it's not down where they're working down here then?
No, it's not down here. It's down there a little ways, but the wind's blowing directly this way, so
yeah. That's
everybody can kind of smell it down this way. So they've evacuated a couple blocks down that way, not down this far yet, but we're trying to keep tabs on that and see where that's at. Other than that, had a couple committee meetings and an agenda item. So thank you.
Thanks, Rodney.
Thank you.
We got anybody online? Miss anybody? I don't think so. Okay. Correspondence. Proceed to discussion and vote. We need to open a public hearing for adoption of a resolution approving the fiscal 22 maximum property tax dollars.
Move to open fiscal year 22 maximum property tax dollars. Public hearing.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Okay, whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors have considered the proposed fiscal year 22 county maximum property tax dollars for both county general county services and rural county services, And whereas a notice concerning proposed county maximum property tax dollars was published as required and posted, I can't talk, on county website. Whereas a public hearing concerned the proposed county maximum property tax dollars was held on March 2nd, 2021. Now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County that the maximum property tax dollars for general county services and rural county services for fiscal 22 shall not exceed the following. General county services, $8,203,758. Rural county services, $2,561,663. The maximum property tax dollars requested in general county services for fiscal year 22 does represent an increase of 17.93% from the maximum property tax dollars requested for fiscal year 21. The maximum property tax dollars requested in rural services for fiscal year 22 represents a decrease of 6.32% from the maximum property tax dollars requested for fiscal year 21. Both of those changes exactly reflect the addition of the DESCOM budget that the county general levy funds the entire DESCOM budget, and as opposed to a previous week being funded per capita by the cities and the county, and it decreased the rural county services in the amount that was going toward their per capita share of DESCOM. So that's the only difference. The it was an increase of 64 cents in the levy for the general county services and a decrease of 34 cents for the rural county services. Is there any public comment regarding this? Did you receive any emails or?
No, I have not received any comments.
Okay. We need to close.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Okay, we need to approve the resolution.
I move that we approve the FY 2022 maximum property tax dollars.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. I don't have much stamps.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Probably just as well. I should have noticed that when I walked out here, shouldn't I?
So we're going to blame that on Bob?
He's not here.
He's got on shoulders.
So back, blame it on, which Bob? Back up. Yep.
That'll get.
As we're going to blame everything on the gas.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. Good, this is a good day to have a problem. That could be, the smell of gas could be interfering with my reading ability.
No.
The bus driver has spoken.
Okay. We have a resolution setting the time and date for the fiscal 22 budget hearing. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and date for a public hearing on the fiscal 22 budget estimate for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom in the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice and estimated summaries required by law. This resolution shall take effect immediately. We need an approval.
Okay. I move to approve resolution 2021-011, setting time and date of FY 22 budget hearing.
We'll second that.
Carry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Okay, we have a resolution setting the time and date for general obligation county purpose loan agreements in an amount not to exceed $3.6 million. I'm going to spare you all the pain of reading all of this. This is a public hearing to approve the loan agreements in our line of credit program that pays for insurance, capital expenditures like building improvements, vehicles, IT equipment, that sort of thing. And if it's if there's no problem, we'll waive the reading and just set the somewhere.
If you look,
we will set the
look on about the third page. I think it's the first legal notice for one of them.
I read this a couple days ago and didn't check what page. The Board of Supervisors will meet on March 23rd, 2021 at the County Courthouse, Burlington, Iowa at 9 a.m. The purpose holding a public hearing on a proposal to enter into a loan agreement. Okay. So it will be March 23rd at 9 a.m.
Move to approve resolution for general obligation.
Second. Carrie.
Jim Carrie.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokert.
Yes. Okay, we have accounts payable in the amount of $859,337.13.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $180.20.
I move that we accept the payroll reimbursement claims of for February 26th, 2021 for $180.20.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. No.
Oh, excuse me. Got that turned around, don't
yeah.
I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Stamps have me all off.
Okay. We have a 2080 agreement.
You don't have the document. Can I blame this on the gas leak too? This is the same thing we've talked about, but the Lee County engineer and I, simply our schedules never matched up. All the way even to this morning. I was supposed to go get it yesterday and I spent the entire day discussing gravel road issues. So you can either table it or you can approve it, and I'm hoping to have it here this afternoon.
I've
read it online.
I've read it online
good.
Too.
They've approved it.
Yeah.
We just have to run it through. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the formal document yet. You should have it this afternoon, but that's where it's at. So
is there a problem with us voting on that? We've seen it.
As long as you've read it.
Yeah, you've had work sessions and you've seen it. So sorry about that.
Digital.
Like I said, it's all the gas leak's fault.
I'll move to approve the 2080 mutual aid agreement with Lee County.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Once I have it, I'll get it to Terry and I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we have the jail. Quote. For the replacement of the generator. Really close. I might find that. Have you got those final numbers without the extra, without the extra gas tank?
Yeah, the extra gas tank was gonna be an additional, comes with like a 546 gallon tank, I believe, an additional tank. 527 gallons was an additional 5,000. We don't feel we would need that. We'd only add about another day or two on runtime. So the final numbers, we got three quotes. Basin Electric, total amount was $160,953.82. Frank Miller and Company was $161,285. And Seether and Sherry was $212,461. So yeah, we had a couple quotes that were really close there. Some good bids. This, once again, this generator would take care of everything. Our current generator does not cover everything. We kind of discussed that in the
work sessions.
I don't know if you want to go through that again or not.
No, quite honestly, they're both in the what we expected.
Yep.
I think we would just figure right around $160,000. Mm-hmm. So it's
That's for the jail. Yeah. So we recommend approval of the same electric for $160,953.82.
Okay. Your pleasure, gentlemen. To accept the...
Okay. I move to approve Bazzini Electric at $160,953.82 for the jail generator quote.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
There are several copies of these.
The colored ones are the originals.
Here, you want one?
Okay. Poor stamp on one, make sure that we go back.
Further at getting a generator for the sheriff's department, or they don't have a generator, correct, over there for your offices?
We don't, no.
Okay. Well,
we had talked about that one time, and then it...
And that's been a while back. Been several years ago. Can they run off the courthouse generator?
Our actual power, no. So when we lose power, we're out of power, and it hasn't been a major issue. And if it was a long drawn out issue, I think we would have other options. I guess if the board wanted to look at a quote, I'd be glad to work on that. Of course, it's not a major issue until something happens.
Yeah.
But we have developed new options with working remotely, and the way IT has a lot of us set up. I don't think that our ability to serve the public would come to a halt if we lost power there.
And we've had this discussion before, maybe more than once. So yeah, and if it doesn't seem to be a problem, we'll let that sit there. If you ever think it becomes a problem or something like that, please bring it to the board.
That is one good thing that came out of COVID then.
There you go.
Gotta look at the positives.
I get it. Stick that in that pile too. Okay, we have the final plat and resolution for the KC subdivision.
All right, this is a 4-acre lot, one lot subdivision. This is just a little bit south of Sperry and then east of Highway 61. There's an existing 55-acre farm property there where the easternmost 9 acres of that property are split from the rest by a little stream, a little wooded area running north-south. And this proposal will have the southern half, or the southern 4 acres of that split off by the corner of 182nd and 120th Avenue. And the intention there is to sell that property, and they have already have somebody in mind to buy it who intends to build a home on the lot. In terms of the review process, we did get the usual comment from the health department that because there is no septic system currently present, they would have to get a permit for that before constructing a house and then have it installed before the home is occupied. So we included the usual condition on the resolution for that. We also, this is actually a first for Zach and I, for the last 3 years we've been working on land use, we did get a comment back from the NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, indicating that a portion of the area to be subdivided, it has a CRP, Conservation Reserve easement. It's actually it kind of runs right along the edge of that creek and up along the north edge of the property. I checked back with them and determined that contract actually expires later this year in October. And I learned from the subdivider as well that they were well aware of that, and that is actually the reason for the timing of having this split off now, is that it's about to expire, and so those stipulations would no longer apply once that is the case. So he said he is aware that the buyer is aware of that and is not intending to build until that contract expires. However, just as a precaution, there's some record of that communication having taken place, I've included a condition on the resolution as well that notes that a CRP agreement is currently in place, and then the county would not be responsible if the owner were to build on it prematurely to that expiration of that agreement. So I would recommend approval of KC subdivision with those two conditions.
Move to approve the KC subdivision with the stipulations that you put there.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Thank you, Jared. We'll sign those.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a assignment of tax sale certificates. We've seen documents like this fairly regularly. Byron Gashler, 14876 Washington Road, Lot 23, West Burlington, would like Des Moines County to assign over their interest in tax sale certificate number 17-0397 to him. His reason for purchase is for investment purposes. He's offering to pay 100% of all the delinquent taxes owing and currently payable on this parcel in the amount of $1,035, as well as the $10 assignment fee. Mr. Gashler's done this a number of times and has stayed current on his taxes.
Correct.
So, what's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I've got both of them listed there, Tom, so you'll have to read
there's
the other ones.
Oh, there's two.
Yep, there's two.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Byron Gashler, 14876 Washington Road, Lot 23, West Brunton, would like Des Moines County to assign over their tax or their interest in tax sale certificate number 19-0494 to him. His reason for purchase is for investment purposes. He is offering to pay 100% of all the delinquent taxes owing and currently payable on this parcel in the amount of $598, as well as the $10 assessment fee. So that's two properties. Taking both at the same time.
All right. I move to approve assignment of tax sale certificates number 17-0397 and 19-0494.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
All
Okay, we have a Class C liquor license for Harvest View Farms. For March 14th, 2022.
I move to approve Class C liquor license for Harvest View Farms.
Second.
Terry.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have an appointment to a Danville Township Trustee position. Good Moines County Board of Supervisors. I am requesting your approval for a four-year term expiring on December 31st, 2024 as Danville Township Trustee. Stan Nelson, 18208 Roosevelt Street, Middletown, Iowa.
Move to approve Stan Nelson to Danville Trustee.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
And I'm pleased to announce that means all of our positions are filled.
Oh, that's nice.
First time in several years.
That's nice. Thank you, Stan. That said, that's a harder job than we've got.
Is it going? Thanks again.
I just want to.
There should be two of them, and there's one sheet that only Tom has assigned.
Yeah. Damn, get out of sleep. Thanks, Michael.
Terrible things to you. I'll just have to
double
check everything before
you should have a
mask
on. Good boy. Okay. We have a certificate of organization for the Des Moines County Agricultural Extension Council.
I move that we approve certificate of organization for Des Moines County Agricultural Extension Council.
Second that.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And personnel action for the Correctional Center. We have Seth Dixon, a part-time correctional officer, resignation. Effective March 1st, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have the jail statistics report. This report will be on file and available for public review in the auditor's office. And we have minutes for the regular meeting, February
February 23rd, 2021.
Move to approve the minutes for February.
Second.
23rd.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Is there any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items.
I have none.
Committee reports.
You can do it again.
I attended a meeting of the Des Moines County Courthouse and Public Building Security Committee, and just short as one of those meetings I remember on record.
You were getting everything laid out.
Yeah, there was, so not really anything to report there.
I've got nothing except for, apparently until I get my paperwork filled out for community action, my name is iPad. So they're not going to call me Shane until I turn my paperwork for next meeting.
Yes, incidentally, yesterday I got an email from somebody wanting to know who was going to replace Bob on the county fair board.
That's me.
Are you?
I'm on that, yeah.
Okay, I will forward that email to you. I didn't know if that had been decided or not, and I was going to mention, I almost forgot I was going to mention that.
It's already on that.
They've got a meeting, I think, later this week. I'll get that to you after the meeting.
Well, never mind. I know Bob told his son, so.
Well, and that's I think somebody that I know you told checked on Shane because they wanted to know who was going to replace him. There was a meeting coming up. They'll get it straightened out in another year. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, we have a setup. An email at board@dmcounty.com, that's board@dmcounty.com, or you may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or email. Anybody in the attendance has any comments? And thank you for your suggestion. That's
yes. I think we have a meeting coming up with the engineer, county engineer, after this meeting. I suggest all of you people stick around and listen to me.
We know better.
Nice try. I appreciate it, Jim.
You
thank
do.
You.
You get paid to listen to it.
You don't, huh?
No.
For some things, money's not worth.
There's just not enough money on earth.
Some things money can't buy.
Lisa, did you get all your money spent Saturday when we run on to you and your husband?
I was really just there for a plastic flower pot.
Plastic flower pot?
So I spent my $4 and I was ready to go home.
You know, I've seen a thing on the internet, you buy these plastic flower pots and you buy that Rust-Oleum glue in the dark, you know, it picks the stuff up, and you put that out and put your flowers in that, you know, and at nighttime it glows and shows your flowers off.
That would defeat my need for pitch black when I'm sleeping because our deck is like right off of our bedroom, so.
Oh, you want that.
No lights. No, I took black nail polish to cover up the green light on the...
Are you one of those that have to have pitch black to sleep?
Yep.
I'm with you on that, for the record.
Now, I actually...
My husband and I compromise because I like pitch black and absolute silence, but he can't sleep without a fan, so we just compromise.
You do the fan, but it's got to be pitch black.
The fan, I could do without.
We learn so much about each other.
I have the high dollar shades. It's dark in the middle of the day.
I bought some of that glow in the dark spray.
Yeah.
Because I had some pots I wanted to put out on my deck.
Yeah.
And they were really nice pots. It's not really good.
It's not very good?
No. It leaves a weird film on it, so they look horrible during the day, and then it peels off pretty easy, and yeah, I was very disappointed, yeah. And it doesn't glow very well at night either, so.
Well, Lisa, so you know, don't buy that stuff.
That's one
of
those.
He takes it back now. Yeah.
That's one of those Pinterest fails, I think.
If I see that again, I'll write scam on it.
Thomas, get ready to order some for Mrs. Roker.
I mean, it's a good concept, it just doesn't work very well.
She's unhappy the squirrel is outsmarter yet again.
Oh, no. Well, if she puts this paint on it, they'll be able to track the squirrel at night.
This is the kind of stuff I really want to learn. Maybe I'll post it on Facebook.
That'll drive your viewership down.
With no further public input, with an eye, we're adjourned. We are adjourned.